The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Tropp, and I'm your host, Katie Tropp. Well, it was not a good weekend for quarterbacks at all. As a matter of fact, there was only one quarterback this weekend who did not have a bunch of turnovers in every game. And I mean, even the winning quarterbacks in the winning games did not have great games this weekend. So not very good quarterback play. Just goes to show you, sometimes you need a little bit more than just the quarterback. But let's get right into the games. I mean, we had some excellent games this weekend. Beginning with the Buffalo Bills at the Denver Broncos on Saturday night. This one went into overtime. As a matter of fact, we had two games going to overtime this weekend. But this one was crazy. But really, the Broncos had the lead basically the entire time in this one. And this was probably one of Josh Allen's worst games he has ever had. Statistically, on the positive side, he didn't do too terrible, but he had five total turnovers, including two interceptions and three fumbles. And I mean, all of them are costly, but two of them were legitimately costly. One being a fumble, which was right before halftime, and it was able to set the Broncos up right in field goal position, and they were able to add three more points, which they probably shouldn't have even had just because the Bills went so hard on that drive there. And then, of course, there was the final play. There was an interception in overtime, and it was kind of controversial to some people, but in my personal opinion, it was an interception. And even so, there was a whole bunch of other plays that the Bills left out on the field, and they just genuinely did not really play a good game, and they did not deserve to move on, whereas the Broncos did. And the Broncos did get the win in overtime, 33-30. Unfortunately, their starting quarterback, Bo Nix, he got injured. He broke his ankle on, I believe it was the second-to-last play of overtime. And it was crazy, too, because he actually had to drop back and pass on a deep ball. And I remember even watching the play. I'm like, wow, that was kind of an odd throw. And it turns out he was playing on a broken ankle. That's why it was such an odd throw. But regardless, the throw was able to set the team up into good field position because there was a pass interference on the call. And sets them up in field goal position, and they walk off and move on to the AFC Championship. But unfortunately, there is not going to be any Bo Nix at quarterback. It's now going to be Jarrett Stidham at quarterback for the Denver Broncos in the AFC Championship game. And if they move on to the Super Bowl, he will also still be their quarterback. But this defense really took care of business for the Denver Broncos. And they really just made Josh Allen pretty much ineffective for the most part in this game. I mean, every time it kind of felt like the Bills were going to get going, the Broncos defense stepped it up and really just made this a difficult game for them. I mean, hell, even James Cook had 117 yards on the ground, but he still wasn't really able to get in the end zone. He wasn't able to do anything. It's just this Broncos defense, they made the big plays when they had to. The offense made enough plays when they had to. And the Broncos are moving on. And the Bills are headed back home. And they also, breaking news today, ended up firing their coach. No more coach for the Buffalo Bills right now. And I just think that's just weird just because, he's been in the playoffs every single year of his career. And the one game they haven't made it to the Super Bowl, but still, I mean, good luck next year because usually first-year head coach, yeah, you might have a pretty decent turnaround, but you're not going to the Super Bowl. So enjoy not going to the Super Bowl next year, Bills. Just waste another year of Josh Allen's career. But speaking of quarterback turnovers in this one, like I said, Josh Allen had five turnovers. Bo Nix also had a couple of turnovers in this one. He had a fumble and an interception in this one. So it was both quarterbacks turning over the ball, which is a theme from the weekend. Then we had the San Francisco 49ers at the Seattle Seahawks, and this was all Seahawks from the jump. Literally, the first kickoff is a boom. Rashid Shaheed kickoff, and gotta say, that is probably the best thing that the Seahawks did for their team this year, because that, I believe that is Shaheed's third kickoff return or punt return for a touchdown. And it came right out the gate, and it was basically from that moment on, the Seahawks never looked back. They got the win 41-6. I mean, they completely obliterated the Niners in every way, shape, and form. And then, of course, the Niners suffered a whole bunch more injuries in this one. So it just was like, they were the walking dead at one point. Then, of course, as I mentioned, poor quarterback play. Brock Purdy had an interception and a fumble in this one. As a matter of fact, the only quarterback this weekend who did not have a turnover was Sam Darnold. Now, he didn't have the most spectacular game, but he didn't need to have the spectacular game. Kenny Walker III had 116 yards on the ground and three touchdowns. As I said, the running game was what they needed to get going. And then, of course, the defense really just took it to Brock Purdy and the 49ers offense. And it was just all Seahawks all night, and they move on to the NFC Championship game. Then on Sunday, we had the Houston Texans at the New England Patriots, and then this was all Patriots all day. Once again, speaking on quarterback turnovers, in this one, C.J. Stroud for the Houston Texans had four interceptions, and then Drake May had four fumbles and an interception, so both quarterbacks played terribly in this one. As a matter of fact, it kind of felt like who wanted to win this game for the longest time, but it turns out the Patriots wanted to win this game. They did get the win 28-16. I kind of felt like those C.J. Stroud four interceptions were just going to be way too much for the Texans to overcome. I mean, even beyond his terrible play, there were a bunch of drop passes from his receivers, which is par for the course for them this season. Their ground attack has never been able to get going, and they just cannot block for shit on that offensive line. So it was basically inevitable that this team was going to fall apart on the offensive side of the ball. Defensively, they played a fantastic game. Like I said, they had four fumbles and an interception on Drake May, so they caused five turnovers in this one. It's really difficult to overcome that poor play when the Patriots, even though Drake May had the five turnovers, it still didn't matter. He was able to overcome and do just enough to get the win in this one, and the Patriots ended up getting the win 28-16, and they move on to the AFC Championship game in Denver next week. And then the last game we had also went into overtime. This was the Los Angeles Rams at the Chicago Bears, and what a game this was. Let's continue the theme of the quarterback turnovers, though. Matthew Stafford had two fumbles in this one. Caleb Williams had three interceptions in this one. So, as you can see, all the quarterbacks basically struggled this weekend, and it was their defenses. I mean, shit, in this one, the Rams' defense made some huge, huge plays, especially on this goal line stand. They were able to just make it so the Bears weren't able to score, and they just were able to hold on. And even though the Bears took it to overtime on an amazing play by Caleb Williams, Caleb Williams is going to set this league on fire for the next few years. I mean, Jesus Christ, the play he made to send this game into overtime was absolutely insane. It was like 4th and 8, I believe. I know it was 4th down. And he is running backwards, and he literally is going 20 yards backwards. And at that point, you're like, this dude is going nowhere. It looks like he's throwing the ball just away, and he actually throws it right perfectly into the hands of his tight end, Cole Kmet, who ends up catching the game-tying touchdown. They're able to get the extra point and send it into overtime. And then both teams, you know, the Bears defense, they played great yesterday, and they were able to, give the Rams a 3-and-out to start overtime. But then Caleb Williams made the biggest mistake basically of the season. He threw this terrible interception right to the Rams basically. And then the Rams were able to just drive it down the field, get into good field position, and then walk it off in overtime with the field goal 20-17. This was a hard fought battle though. Like I said, Rams had control for the most part. But it was back and forth the entire way, and just a crazy game between two really good teams. But the Bears Cinderella season ends here, and the Rams keep it moving. They have been moving well on the road, and now they head to their division rival for the third time this season, headed to Seattle next week for the NFC Championship game. So that is going to be an interesting weekend to see who we end up with in the Super Bowl. But those were some excellent games, and it's just so funny how the quarterback play ended up, and then also to see that Sean McDermott lost his job as the Buffalo Bills coach. And I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up getting some of these interviews or just taking the year off. But regardless, it's that's football, and it just was crazy to see that basically every quarterback this weekend really struggled, and it was all about defense. That's why, you know, you make all these prognostications about dumb shit, and usually it doesn't come out. You just let the game play out, and we'll see what happens. All right, so let's move on to the college football playoff, and the national championship is tonight. We have the Miami Hurricanes versus Indiana, and I mean, Indiana has been basically the top team all season. They weren't ranked number one all season, but they played like the number one team all season. They are an 8.5-point favorite in this one, even though Miami is technically the home team because the national championship is in Miami this year, so they are the home team. But Indiana technically is the home team since they were the number one overall seed. I really don't think this is going to be a very interesting game at all, just because Miami's offense is trash. They have played terribly in every single game in the college football playoff, and it just kind of feels like they have barely won every game they've played so far, whereas Indiana is great at every single level. They're great on the offensive side of the ball. They're great on the defensive side of the ball. They're great on special teams. They're well coached. There really isn't anything wrong with this Indiana team. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be shocked if this game is over by the second quarter, just because that's how dominating I feel like Indiana is going to be in this one, and I have Indiana winning tonight 42-10. Moving on to the top 10 NBA power rankings this week, and not a whole lot of changes. A couple of teams, actually one team has really started to get moving in the top 10 this week, really got to start taking them seriously. And then one team's actually completely fallen out, the New York Knicks. They have fallen out because they are not playing well at all right now. So, other than that, it's pretty much the usual suspects just kind of shuffled around here. Beginning with the number one team still remains the Oklahoma City Thunder. Overall record of 35-8. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the San Antonio Spurs finally, which is what they really needed to do. You know, they lost all three of their first matchups with the Spurs, so they really needed to get this one going, and that was a huge win that they got. They also beat the Houston Rockets and then lost a close one to the Miami Heat. Unfortunately, Jalen Williams has been injured again. His hamstring, it looks like it's just going to be kind of one of those week-to-week type of things with him, but they did play well with him to start the season while he was injured. So I don't really expect this to be a major thing for them, really. It's going to affect them, of course, but I just still think they're going to be able to maintain. And once he gets back, he'll just add to this already stellar lineup. Then at number two on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Detroit Pistons, overall record of 30-10. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Phoenix Suns and the Indiana Pacers. And it's just, this is really an all-around spectacular team, especially in the Eastern Conference. They are absolutely dominating the East. And then they got Durant back this week, and he has been suffocating in his first two games back. So they definitely needed him and his paint presence. And then, of course, you've got Cunningham, who's having a fantastic year as well. And the Detroit Pistons just keep on soaring throughout this season. Then at number three on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Denver Nuggets, overall record of 29-14. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the New Orleans Pelicans, the Dallas Mavericks, the Washington Wizards, and then just lost to the Charlotte Hornets. And they are playing fantastic without Nikola Jokic. Jamal Murray he's taken over as the leader, and he really has no issues doing it. I mean, he was already having a phenomenal year before Jokic went down, but now he really has just taken over, and this team is not looking back. You know, they got Gordon back from his injury, so he's really providing a lot of offense for them, and they are playing fantastic without Jokic, and that's exactly what they needed to do, because I kind of feel like once they get Jokic back, this is going to be a really, really good team, even though they already are a really good team. It's just they're going to be even better with a healthy Jokic. Then at number four in my top 10 NBA power rankings at the San Antonio Spurs, overall record of 29-13. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Oklahoma City Thunder, but beat the Milwaukee Bucks and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Actually took down the Timberwolves yesterday in a huge game from Anthony Edwards, who had 55 points in the game, but the Spurs were able to hang on in this one, and it's just just everybody on the team is really just providing a whole lot of offense. They're getting defense. They're dominating the paint. I mean, Wemby is just giving them not only great presence in the paint, but, I mean, the dude can score a whole lot of points. I mean, he's just a unicorn, and he really hasn't even been placed in the starting lineup that much since he came back from his injury. He's pretty much just been coming off at the bench mostly for the last week or so. So, I mean, he really is just easing back into it, and they are still playing phenomenal without him. So this is another team that is succeeding, even though their top dog has been dealing with injuries. Then at number five on my top 10 NBA power rankings at the Boston Celtics, overall record of 26-15. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Indiana Pacers, but beat the Miami Heat and the Atlanta Hawks. And this is the team that I was talking about that is just soaring right now, especially in the Eastern Conference. If they just keep it up, they definitely are going to make the playoffs. But they could actually be a force to reckon with in the playoffs. I mean, Brown is having a MVP type season so far. He's averaging 29.7 points per game, 6.4 rebounds per game, and 4.8 assists per game. He's pretty much doing every single thing for this team. It's really just a matter of who is going to step up next to him, to step in and fill in that role that Jason Tatum would usually play. But this Celtics team, they're actually starting to find some continuity, really starting to look really solid, and really now starting to soar in the Eastern Conference, and they're actually the second best team in the Eastern Conference that just took over their division lead this week. Then at number six on my top 10 NBA power rankings are the Minnesota Timberwolves. Overall record of 27-16. They're 6-4 in their past 10 or in their last 10 games. This past week they beat the Milwaukee Bucks, lost to the Houston Rockets, and then lost to the San Antonio Spurs. But Anthony Edwards is just having a phenomenal year. He is just carrying this squad. Just scoring night in and night out, and it just kind of feels like he is unstoppable. It's just he needs somebody else to step it up with him, and if nobody else steps it up with him, then they just fall apart. But this Timberwolves team has looked really good. They've been able to maintain a level of fantastic play, especially being behind the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Denver Nuggets in their own division. They're still playing great basketball. It's just they're losing it in some of these close games like they did against the Spurs over the weekend, even though Edwards had the 55 points in that game. Then at number seven on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Houston Rockets, overall record of 25-15. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Chicago Bulls, lost to the Oklahoma City Thunder, and then beat the Minnesota Timberwolves and beat the New Orleans Pelicans. And Kevin Durant continues to work his way up the all-time scoring list. Yesterday, he actually ended up passing Dirk Nowitzki. He is now sixth all-time on the all-time scoring list, and he just keeps on scoring, and this team keeps on winning. And even though they had that little bit of a losing streak the last couple of weeks, it looks like they're getting it back to it, starting to score again, but also starting to play a little bit of defense and getting back to dominating the paint like we're used to them seeing over the last couple of seasons. Then at number eight on my top 10 NBA power rankings at the Cleveland Cavaliers, overall record of 24-19. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Utah Jazz and then beat the Philadelphia 76ers twice. Unfortunately for them, Darius Garland, he re-injured himself last week, and they don't know his timetable right now. So it could be a while. It could be just kind of one of those week-to-week things. But it sucks because they were really starting to get going with him. And even though Donovan Mitchell provides them a huge source of offense, he definitely needs a little bit of help because then they kind of turn into a team like the Minnesota Timberwolves, where if there's too much Anthony Edwards, it really doesn't matter if nobody else steps it up. And that's kind of the position the Cavaliers are in with an injured Darius Garland. Then at number nine on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Los Angeles Lakers, overall record of 25-16. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Sacramento Kings, beat the Atlanta Hawks, lost to the Charlotte Hornets, lost to the Portland Trailblazers, and then beat the Toronto Raptors. And it's just with this team, there is not a lot of consistency other than Luka Doncic. I mean, Luka Doncic is having a phenomenal year. I mean, he leads the league still in scoring with 33.3 points per game, which is just out of this world, and 7.5 rebounds per game, 8.6 assists per game. I mean, he's really all around playing great basketball. And then, like I said, you know, this Reeves injury takes a lot of the wind out of their sails. But I mean, other than that, they just really haven't been able to find any type of consistent basketball. I mean, like I said, it's like they lose one, win one, lose one, win one. It's they just can't get going on a decent winning streak. And that's why right now in their last 10 games, they're 5-5 playing 500 basketball, because they just can't get it going other than Luka Doncic. And it's just, they are not one of the top teams in the West. And that's a problem, because the teams in the top teams in the West are just playing excellent team basketball. And right now, the Lakers are not playing good team basketball at all. And then rounding out the top 10 NBA power rankings of the Phoenix Suns, overall record of 25-17. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Miami Heat, lost to the Detroit Pistons, and then beat the New York Knicks. And Devin Booker is just having a great year himself. He's averaging 25.3 points per game. And, you know, it's just doing what he normally does. He's always been that dude for the Phoenix Suns, even throughout all the years. Basically, since they drafted Booker, he has just been one of the most consistent basketball players you will ever see on the court, and that's just what he continues to do for this team. It's just a matter of, is anybody else ever going to step up with him? And right now, you know, Grayson Allen, other than his injuries, he's actually become a really good number two guy right behind him. It's just, his team is terrible on the defensive side of the ball, and that's just always been their kind of their thing. But they are beating good teams, but they're also losing to them as well. So it's just they're not a very consistent team, but Devin Booker is having a phenomenal year. And it's just with the Phoenix Suns, you don't know what you're going to get, but right now they're playing pretty solid basketball. All right, y'all, enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.